Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 27. That was it, Brother Barnes. That's pretty wild. Genesis chapter 27. We're going to read a passage of Scripture here, and I'm going to teach again tonight. Brother Coral will be with us next Wednesday night, and I think the following Wednesday night I'm going to kind of finish up this series on making biblical sense of your senses and start into another series. I may stretch it out one more week. I'm not sure, but so we're just going to wind this up. We have in no wise, in no way exhausted this topic, but I think you're getting the idea, and I think this will help you tonight in a special way. It may be a little humorous at first, because I really don't know how to word this, but you'll see where we're headed here in just a moment. Genesis 27, we're going to start reading in verse number 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and felt him, and said, The voice of Jacob is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, that I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now, here we have the story of Jacob tricking his father, Isaac, for the blessing. This was to be the chosen one. Jacob, his name was later changed to Israel. Jacob's sons, all 12 of them, became the 12 tribes of Israel. This was the blessing that Isaac was putting on Jacob. Here's the thing. It was supposed to go to his twin brother Esau. Jacob and Esau were twins. Esau was born first, but Jacob came out of the womb holding on to the ankle of his brother Esau, and there was battle between them throughout. Now, they sounded alike. They looked alike, except Jacob was, the Bible says, he was a hairy man. He had hair on the back of his hands, and the back of his neck was hairy and all that kind of stuff. And Esau was a fair-skinned young man. And Jacob was a sissy boy, and Esau was a tough dude. Esau went out hunting, and Jacob stayed home cooking. Anybody'd rather stay home cooking soup than go out hunting. Something's wrong with them, amen? And I like cooking because I like eating. But if I had my choice to go out and rise, kill, and eat, or stay home and cook, I'm going hunting, amen? Just the way it is. And he was a man's man. Isaac was old. He's nearly blind. And Jacob's mommy said, Look, we need to get you the blessing. We're going to trick your father. You're going to play Esau. They killed a goat, made it into the type of venison that Isaac liked. By the way, people think that a deer and a sheep are close. They're not. A goat and a deer are in the same family. They're virtually first cousins of one another. You can goat meat and deer meat taste almost identical. It is, by the way, goat meat is the most eaten meat in the world. Beef is a distant second, but most of your Asian nations and African nations eat goat far more than they would beef. And so goat and venison are much the same. So it was very easy to take that and make it taste like venison. And so they did. Jacob tricked his father. And the whole key to the story that I want you to see tonight is there in verse 27. And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed." Wow. I call this the sense of smell biblically. The sense of smell biblically. The smell of my son. He could smell the field on his clothing. My wife will tell you when hunting season comes, about a week or two before hunting season comes, I unpack all my hunting clothes and I just hang them outside and let them air out and let the outside air them out. She washes them, but I don't let her use soap to wash my clothes. And my outside hunting clothes, they get clean, but I don't want the soap smell on them. And then I let them air dry, and then I air them out before I go hunting in them so that it gets the outdoor smell on them versus your closet smell. Say, why? Because a deer's nose is about 10,000 times more sensitive than yours. You can fool his eyes, and you might fool his ears, but you're not going to fool his nose. A deer's nose is worse than my beagle, and that's pretty bad. That rotten little dog, she can't come near you without... I'm thinking, I'm gonna just put a rubber band around your face, all right? And I'm going to plug those two holes. You talk about sniff, 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 sniff. You should have seen her in all this snow. It was great. I had to shovel a stupid path for my dog because the backyard snow was that deep. And a white dog in white snow, it was not a good thing. I couldn't find her. But it's interesting. Isaac said, "I smell the smell of my son. I smell the smell of the field." Now, when my kids come home, it was interesting. They'd left for college, and the first time they come back, every one of them, all three of them, they'd walk through the door and go, "Yep, smells like home." And you don't think about it till you've been away from it for a while. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All three of them came and said, "Boy, it's good to be home. It smells like home." When they got to the room, it didn't smell like the room because we cleaned it. I remember we had gotten a piece of furniture from my mom and dad. I think they had a leather recliner or something. They had gotten new ones. And I said, "Look, it's in better shape than the one I got. You going to throw that away?" "Yeah." "Can I take it?" "Yeah." So I used it for three or four more years before it all fell apart. And I brought it home. And the kids didn't know I got it through the door. My kids came down and sat on that thing. And they went, "You got this at Grandma and Grandpa's, didn't you?" "Yeah, why?" "Because it smells like Grandma and Grandpa's house." They could literally smell my mom and dad's house on that piece of furniture. One of my children has a beagle nose, and I won't tell you which one, but that child would love to sit in that chair, and you'd watch that child walk up that chair and go, "It still smells like Grandma and Grandpa's." And I'd laugh. They just knew that smell. You know, it's amazing how certain smells remind you of certain people. Maybe a certain perfume reminds you of your mom or your grandmother. Mrs. Lopez, you're going to laugh at this one. But where are you at? There you are. When I smell stale Sanka coffee, I think of Brother Heil's office. That man drank Sanka coffee every day, had it there all the time. And y'all know what I mean by that stale coffee smell. His office smelled like that. No matter when you walked in, it smelled like stale Sanka coffee. And every time I smell Sanka coffee, I think of Brother Hiles. I don't know why, but I do. It was in the furniture. It was in the carpet. It was in the walls. He didn't even have to have coffee and you could smell it. And I just do that. Now, God has much to say about our nose and smell in the Bible. And I'm going to give you about four things tonight, and we'll be done on time, I promise you. But I need you to get your Bible ready because you're going to use it. Get your fingers greased up because here we go. Number one, God put spiritual and physical life into man by the nose. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. God gave man spiritual and physical life through his nose. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his, what's the next word? Nostrils. That's his nose. That's both of these holes right here in the front of your face. Amen. The breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God chose to breathe into man's nose and give him life. By the way, that is the inspiration. He inspired, he breathed living breath into man through his nose. Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27, if you can turn quickly, great. But as soon as I get there, I'm going to read verse number 3. Job 27, 3. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. In other words, God breathed into man the breath of life, and our spirit, our inspiration, came by God breathing that into man. By the way, this is an interesting thought. God spoke everything into creation. He was inspiring creation. Breath was used for creation. You cannot speak without breath going over and out of your body. As I speak, I'm breathing in, and as I talk, the air that I breathe in is now going over my vocal cords, out my mouth, and if you can't breathe, you can't talk. How many of you have ever lost your breath before? You fell out of a tree or fell on your back, and you know, what's the first thing you're doing? You know, you can't get anything out. There's no air to push. It's all gone. And that's why you can't talk, because you're not getting any air out over top of those vocal cords. And as God spoke, he actually inspired. The inspiration of God was in creation. By the way, that's why you can see God in creation. Now, wait a minute. Creation was cursed, though. Man now worships the created more than the creator because of the curse. Can I tell you something? That's not cursed. That didn't change. His word abides forever. This world will pass away, but his word will not pass away, the Bible says. And because of that, man can see God in nature, but he's not to worship nature. Do you know, I don't go out and worship a tree. Praise the Lord. I don't go out and worship the grass. I don't go out and worship any animal. It's not holy cow or anything else, all right? The only holes in the critters are the ones I put in there when I'm hunting them, amen? And I'm not trying to be crude, but we're not supposed to worship creation. Global warming. Mother Earth. If we're our carbon footprint, folks. Have you ever noticed what the record high temperatures are for these days, set back in the 1800s? Early 1900s. I wonder if they were talking about global warming 120 years ago. I watched the weather just for a moment today. The record temperature for today was like 76 degrees, set back in 1904. Global warming. The record low was 10 below, set back in the 1990s or the 1980s. May wonder if we were going through an ice age. Now, if we're not careful, we can't use plastic bottles, we can't use plastic bags, we're going to outlaw them because we have such a problem with plastic and we're going to ruin the earth. Every molecule in that plastic came from the earth. We don't just breathe plastic into being. It came from the earth, all right? And I'm not going any farther into that, but God put life into man through his nostrils. God gave us spiritual life, and God gave us physical life through our nose. Interesting, isn't it? Number two, God uses the sense of smell, and I'm not sure how to word this. I tried many different ways, but he uses his sense of smell in reference to hearing and as an expression or a picture of our prayers. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. God uses the sense of smell in reference to our prayers. And I'll show you what I mean here in a minute, and I think it'll make sense to you. Exodus chapter 30, look at verse number 7. Excuse me. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. This is in reference to the altar of incense in the tabernacle. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. And it's talking about that altar of incense right in front of the veil in the tabernacle between the holy place and the holy of holies. And there was to be incense burning in there continually as a picture of our prayers going up to heaven. Turn to Revelation chapter 8. I'll show you what I mean. Revelation chapter 8. Let's look at verse number 1. Revelation chapter 8, verse number 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of an half hour. I heard a preacher one time say that's proof there's not going to be any women in heaven because it'll be totally quiet in heaven for 30 minutes. I didn't say that, but I heard somebody say that once. I don't believe it at all. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar. Watch this. Having a golden censer, there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now this is in reference to during the tribulation and things, but that altar and that incense is from the tabernacle that is in heaven, the true tabernacle. And that incense and that smoke rising up, the Bible says, is a picture of the prayers. It's the prayers of the saints going up with the smoke. So God, and by the way, incense if we went to, and I'm not going to take time into this, but God gave a certain recipe for an incense, and it had to be exactly what that was. Matter of fact, Nadab and Abihu offered strange incense upon that. They put their own recipe out there and burned it, and God killed them for it. It was to be in reference to our prayers. God does not want us just doing anything. And by the way, this is why us praying to false gods and us offering strange incense is not good. When the Catholics do all their Hail Marys, is that the right word? I never was Catholic, so I don't know. when we do repetitious prayers, and by that, the Bible says vain repetition. When we think we're praying, when we say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and you just recite that prayer, you're not praying. That's called a vain repetition.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I'm not saying that is a bad thing, but to do it over and over and over and over and over and over and say that you've prayed, God says, gag. Strange incense. That's not the right smell that he is looking for. That's like dirty socks to God. Amen? That's not a pleasant smell. It's not a pleasant smell to him. So the altar of incense and that incense, that smoke going up, was a picture of our prayers going up to God and it smelling good to him. It was sweet to God when we pray. Can I tell you something? Not only are you supposed to pray, God wants you to pray. You realize that prayer shouldn't be as hard as it really is for us? The God of heaven, the creator of the universe, wants you to pray. He wants to talk to you. Some of you are locked in your house with your spouse for 2 or 3 days. Some of you couldn't abide in the same home for 2 or 3 days. My wife and I had a great time. I was shoveling snow. We decided the storm was coming. I said, honey, I am going to be a caged lion if I don't have a project. So I came up with this wonderful idea to redecorate our bedroom. Why, I don't know. Of course, I was thinking, okay, we'll get a fresh coat of paint, move things around, clean it up, we're done. New color paint, new color trim. Then we got to have bedspread and curtains and all those things that match. Then we decided we're going to go a little fancier and do this other thing in there. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this thing has really turned complicated. It's okay. We had fun. We were laughing at each other. I was working in there the other day, and we've got this stupid dresser with this mirror on it, and it's got two little screws with a bracket that holds this whole thing on. Great big mirror and two posts that go all the way down, and it's not screwed into anything except about that much wood across the top seam. It's called a cheap dresser, amen? I thought, you know, to move it, she's got to hold the mirror so it doesn't go and break off, you know? Got that thing moved. I'm working behind it. I went to move, and I bumped the mirror. Well, I don't take everything off the top of the dresser to move the dresser. So it goes, pow! I broke the brackets off, pulled them right out of the wood. It threw stuff everywhere. She had a big old glass of water sitting on there. It's all over the floor. I'm getting soggy socks. It was not fun. She's laughing. She's got paint everywhere all over her. She's got 3 different colors of paint on her, and some of the paint we didn't even paint. It's from the last time. I'm laughing at her. We had more fun messing up. She'd say, that's not right. Yes, it is. No, it's not. We're drawing lines. And I look back and something didn't happen. So I got that thing fixed. I didn't measure right. Amen. Just double check me. She was right. I was wrong. Hey, we had fun. We were talking. I'll be honest with you. When I went back to work Monday, it was a little lonely for a while. It really was. I enjoyed being home with my wife. Now, wait a minute. God wants to talk to you. God wants to spend time with you. Number three, and I got to hurry. God does not want us to use our works as a means of salvation because it stinks to him. Turn your Bibles to Amos chapter 5. Amos is right before the book of Andy. Some of you will get that if you're over 45 years old. Amos chapter 5 is right before the book of Obadiah and Jonah. It's back in that part of the Old Testament. Amos chapter 5. I want you to notice something here that will help you. Let's look at verse number 21. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings with your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Wow. Now, here's something you've got to realize. In the Old Testament, as they offered sacrifices, again, the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament sacrifice is the Lord's Supper, a picture of the broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ. But the altar there, they would sacrifice the animals, they would spill its blood, then they would burn that sacrifice on the altar. And that smoke, I'll bring it down to our terminology here in a moment. And the priests and all the Levites ate from that meat. They had to wait till it was done. They had a hook. They could pull off certain parts of the animal. And that's what they got to keep to feed everybody that was working there in the temple. And the rest of it was just burnt and charred and discarded of. And it was a burnt offering. It was the smell. Can you imagine how good it would smell out there to all that charred meat? Brother Mike, you'll laugh at this. As I started writing this out, I said it was just like making bacon, but I didn't think it would be right for me to talk about Jews and bacon, so I didn't do that. But if you ever pulled into your neighborhood and somebody in the neighborhood was grilling, you couldn't even see it, but you sure could smell it. And that smell of meat, you're like, oh, man, does that smell good. Your stomach starts going, your mouth starts slobbering a little bit. You're thinking, man, I wonder what we're having tonight. Maybe I can grill it, you know, kill it and grill it. Here we go. And that smell of the grill, that's often the tabernacle would smell like that almost continually because of all the sacrifices. There was a sweet smell about it, and it was a picture. That sacrifice was a picture of Jesus for our salvation. Now watch this. God said, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings with your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Okay, watch this. Those sacrifices were not their salvation. They didn't get saved, nor did they keep their salvation by offering a sacrifice. You don't get saved by taking the Lord's Supper. It's not communion. It's not a holy sacrament. It doesn't become the body and the blood of Jesus in your mouth and in your body. That's called cannibalism. Just so you know, God despises that type of religion. Well, the Old Testament's law and the New Testament's grace. No, it's not. Everybody gets saved the same way. Sure. By faith. Old Testament, they looked ahead to Calvary. New Testament, they look back at Calvary. That's the only difference. And they got saved by their faith, but there were people out there trusting their sacrifices to get them to heaven. They weren't saved. They were offering sacrifices. They were doing religious things. And God said, I will not smell it. It's not acceptable. Matter of fact, I hate it and I despise it. You think I'm tough on the Catholics. What do you think God is? You see, there are some smells, though, that are grilled that aren't good. My in-laws, we were first married. They gave us some venison from Minnesota. My wife's nose just curled. I can eat just about anything. But as soon as that stuff hit, I looked at her and said, this is not going to be good. I don't know what, that thing had to be about 137 years old. It ate tree bark its whole life. And I'll be honest with you, I got it in my mouth. And one bite started growing. And I spit it out. She said, honey, I said, I can't eat it either. And I love deer meat, but throw that stuff away. I'd take it clear out to the dumpster. It stunk up the house for days. I couldn't believe anybody would eat anything that nasty. I said, what'd you do? We got something else to eat because there was no way I was eating that. It was that bad. Have you ever gotten a real bad piece of meat like that and start grilling? You're thinking, ooh, this is not going to be good. And that's what it was. And to God, if you're using those sacrifices as salvation, God said to obey is better than sacrifice. We're supposed to obey him. Our sacrifices come later, and I'm not going to belabor that. We'll hit it at another time. Number four, I got to hurry because this is my favorite part. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus at Calvary was the sweet-smelling savor to God. Jesus at Calvary was the sweet-smelling savior to God. Look at verse number 1, Ephesians 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Can I tell you something? Calvary to God was like that bacon on the frying pan. Amen? You walked in and go, okay, good stuff. It's like the meat on the grill that's good stuff. It's those venison steaks cooking on the grill. It just kind of dripping and oozing. It's that grilled chicken that you can smell three blocks away. It's like, oh man, some of you haven't had dinner yet because I can see you're licking your lips already, all right? Now, Calvary to God was that way. Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary is what restored man to God and God to man. God made man to fellowship with him. Man's sin caused a separation, but Calvary brought us back together and allowed us to have that close relationship that God wanted. That's why the veil was rent in the temple from top to bottom. That's why we don't have priests anymore. We don't need the Levitical priesthood as a picture of what Jesus would be someday. He fulfilled it all according to the book of Hebrews, and he is our high priest. That's why God rent the veil in the tabernacle, and we have direct access to God. You are a priest if you're saved. I'm not wearing what they wear, but I am a priest of God. Now, Calvary was pleasant to God. If you went to Isaiah 53, it said, but it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It talks about Calvary and how that Calvary pleased the Lord. Not that he was happy that Jesus was suffering, but the price that Jesus was paying restored God and man, and God was now able to restore fellowship with man, and man had direct access to God, and God was now able to have that restored in a very close way, like it could not have been done had somebody not paid that price. People had to daily eat. Listen to this. God wanted the smell of that grilled meat or that cooking meat to remind us of what Jesus did at Calvary. My wife made deer steaks tonight. She was broiling them things on the broiler. I knew what I was going to preach on. You know, every time I smell cooked meat, it reminds me of my salvation. On the vegetarians. Now, wait a minute. It didn't say that he was a grilled carrot or a grilled asparagus. It says a sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. And as we eat and as we smell the smell of our food, it should remind us of our salvation. You know, I hope when you sit down to eat or you're grilling and you're smelling food cooking, instead of thinking about how hungry you are and how good it's going to taste, maybe just take a moment and thank God for your salvation. That is a picture of your salvation. I realize it's not the tabernacle, and it's not holy, it's not kosher, all those other things, but God made the Bible practical for everyday use. You eat every day. Can I tell you something? You should eat that every day. It will remind you. And by the way, those smells were there to remind people. Can you imagine what the tabernacle area and the temple area must have smelled like? You talk about Texas barbecue. It was something. Now, there was other parts of it that was bloody. When they sacrificed those things, when they gutted those things, and there was parts of it that weren't quite as pleasant. But boy, when that sacrifice started burning, started sizzling. Yeah, smell that meat cooking. God says, yeah, that's a picture of salvation. And doesn't it smell good? God uses the sense of smell in reference to spiritual life as well as our physical life. The purpose of our nose is to remind us of our wonderful God. Our sense of smell affects our sense of taste. Did you know if you can't smell, you can't taste? Your taste buds and your nose are hooked together. This is pretty gross, but did you know that you can... Teenagers, you didn't hear this from your preacher, and children, don't try this at home. But you can take thread and sniff it till it goes in the back of your throat, and it'll dangle in the back of your throat, and you can cough it out, and you can do this and almost dental floss all the way through there. Because you can do that. You say, how do you know? Because my brother did it. One of my kids, I've told this story before, one of my kids got a French fry stuck up their nose when we were traveling back and forth one day. Screaming on the side of the road. Pulled the car over. And I mean, did you ever try to get a French fry out of a kid's nose that's got a French fry in there that's mushy as well as what's normally in a nose that's slick? You can't grab a hold of it. There, my wife says, what are we going to do? I got this brainiac idea. I said, got the bulb syringe? Well, I couldn't suck it out. I said, got an idea. Put your hand over his mouth. She put her hand over his mouth. I put the bulb syringe in the side that didn't have the French fry. Went like that and went, pew! Shot that puppy right out of there. I thought, man, I just figured that out. Say why? Because that and that's all hooked together. If he had his mouth open, it wouldn't have worked. Had to keep the pressure in there, amen? 10 minutes later, he's screaming again. He did the same stupid thing. Say, what'd you do? Took the French fries away and shot it out again. Now, wait a minute. If you lose your sense of taste, often you can't smell. Did you ever get a real bad cold and you couldn't smell anything and you couldn't taste anything? Well, it's because you couldn't smell anything that you couldn't taste anything. My aunt lost her sense of taste for about 10 years. She had gotten a real bad cold and gotten a flu and stuff, and she had lost her sense of taste. She couldn't smell or taste anything for about 10 years. It was miserable. She only ate because she had to. It didn't matter what it was. She said, I can't taste anything. And she literally, it could be boogers or it could be steak, and it didn't matter to her because she couldn't taste the difference. If you blindfolded her, she just chewed on it. It didn't matter. If you blindfold her, she could not tell you what she was eating. I mean, not at all. What a wonderful way to learn to eat vegetables. I mean, but she honestly could not taste anything. And it's because she couldn't smell anything. Your nose and your taste is hooked together there. And God wants us to use our nose to remind us of some things in Scripture. And that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe not an earth-shattering or life-changing truth, but I wonder what of us have certain sinful things that we've tasted of, smelled, that we shouldn't be going back to and visiting.